Let's take a look at the stock calculations worksheet. First of all, let's say that the calculations for stocks are actually much easier than the calculations for bonds, okay? So in the presentations, we discussed the market capitalization, the earnings per share, the PE ratio, and the dividend yield. So we're going to go through each one of these. Number one, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is selling for $22 per share. There are 50 million shares outstanding. What is DCH's, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe's, market capitalization? Is this a large cap, mid cap, or small cap company? Excuse me. Well, the calculation is very simple. You take the market price and you multiply it times the number of shares outstanding. $22 per share is the market price, but 50 million is the number of shares outstanding. Now, some of your calculators don't even go up that high, so don't even bother with all the six zeros. Just write the word, write the number 50, and next to it, write the word million. It makes life a whole lot easier. Don't forget the word million in your result. But it just makes it a lot. Now, if you have a scientific calculator, go right ahead. $22 times 50 is 1,100. But don't forget the million. So that's 1,100 million. Now, you're not going to see it displayed that way. Why? Because they want to show it as 1.1 billion. 1,100,000,000. So you'll see it as 1.1 with a capital B, or sometimes they'll just have a lowercase b, or sometimes they'll write out the word billion. Now, either answer is correct, dear students. I mean, I'm not worried about you moving the decimal point 3 to the left and changing it from millions to billions, but it's up to you if you want to do that. Either one. Now, is this a large cap company, a mid cap, or a small cap? If you remember from the presentation, large cap companies were anything above $10 billion. And now you hear more and more people saying, well, it's got to be at least $15 billion before it's a large cap. So it changes over time. We'll stick with 10. Mid cap is anywhere between 1 or 2 up to 10. Why is it 1 or 2? Because people have a different definition of what a small cap company is, what a mid cap company is. And now you hear people saying, well, it's not really a mid cap company unless it's $4 billion. But let's stick with 1 or 2. And then small cap is anything less than 1 or 2, and some people are even saying 3 or 4 billion, anything less than that. So in this case, it could be a large small cap company or a small mid cap company, and either one is correct. I'll take either answer, a small cap or mid cap. It's certainly not a large cap company. And I'll ask people about a company that's, say, worth $800 million or $500 million, and they'll say, well, that's a large company. No, it's not. To you and me, yes, $400, $500 million is a lot of money, but for companies, that's pretty small. Okay, next one. We Got Burnt and Badly, WBB, earned $150 million last year. Is that a lot of money? Well, we don't know until we know how many shares are outstanding. They had 200 million shares outstanding. So what are their earnings per share? Well, that's a simple calculation. Earnings per share equals annual earnings divided by number of shares outstanding. You write 150 million in the top and 200 million in the bottom, and then get rid of all the zeros. Just to make life easier, you don't have to put them into your calculator. And you get 75 cents, 0.75, 75 cents earnings per share. That means every share is earning 75 cents. So you can think of your little shares each as a little bitty company that is earning 75 cents. Cool? Right. And then in number 3, what we're going to do is we're going to relate that price to that earnings, I'm sorry, the earnings to the price. So that's the price-earnings ratio. Take the Money and Run, TMR, is currently priced at $48. Last year, their earnings per share were $1.20. What is their price-to-earnings ratio? Is it high, medium, or low? Well, a P-E ratio is a very simple calculation. You take the market price divided by the annual earnings. And in this case, we have $48 divided by $1.20, or a P-E of 40. That's a high P-E ratio. That means investors are very excited about the prospects for take the money and run. What happens in the next 2-3 years if they don't deliver? The price is going to plummet. The parachutes had better be very large. But actually, folks, there are many companies with PEs in the 40s, 4, 50, 60, 80, 100, 300. It's insane. There are some companies that are very overvalued now. And history tells us that there's going to be a shakeout, there's going to be a downturn, a correction, a bear market, a crash, whatever you want to call it, it's going to happen. Now, I don't know when, but we're due. We're long overdue. So get yourself emotionally, intellectually prepared, and realize that if stock prices fall to zero and the economy completely falls apart and there's no food at the Vons, there's no gas at the Chevron station, there's no clothes at the Gap, the cell phones aren't working, SDG&E is not pumping out electricity, the trash is not being picked up, the sewers are all backed up, the hospitals, the schools, the police departments, the fire departments, the banks, are all shuttered, you're not going to worry about your stock investments, all right? Failure is not an option. So even though stocks are very pricey now, I'm still invested. I'm trying to get myself prepared intellectually and emotionally, and I'm telling my clients the same thing. So just, it's coming. I don't know when, really. I really don't know when. It could be 2-3 years from now. It could be next summer, this summer. Who knows? Next summer. Yeah, you don't know. Okay, so number 4, get rich quick and retire. GCR is paying $2.25 in dividends per share each year. Their market price is $72. What is GQR's dividend yield? Get rich quick and retire. Well, the dividend yield is another simple calculation, annual dividends divided by market price. So, if we take the $2.25 of dividends, divide that by $72, then we get 0.03125 as the dividend yield. Now, you will normally see it expressed as a percent sign. You don't have to. You can just leave it the way it is. But you would normally see 3.125. Sometimes they'll use, you know, 2 digits to the right of the decimal point in a percentage. So that would be 3.13. But we want you to use at least 3 digits, maybe more if you want. You can use as many as you want, but don't just round that to 3%. That's not a good idea. Why? It's not that it's wrong. It's just that 3% by itself means anything between 2.50 and 3.49, and that's a very big spread, we call it in the industry, a big difference. So we'd like you to use at least 3, maybe even 4 digits of accuracy. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, come see me or go talk to your chemistry professor, okay? Number 5. A year ago, Juan and Atu purchased 100 shares of Waste Management. Who are they? Right. They pick up the trash. You know, when people say, oh, should I buy Farcebook or Titter? I say, I don't know if Farcebook or Titter are going to be around in 30 years. But I do know somebody's going to be picking up the trash in 30 years, and it's probably going to be Waste Management and their competitor, Republic Services. So take a look at those two companies. There are others. Waste Management paid him $2.05 per share dividend. So he bought 100 shares at $85 a share. But now Waste Management is selling for $100 a share. Wow, so he's done pretty darn well for himself. His broker charges a $5 commission, so he's got to pay that when he buys and when he sells. What would his total return and his percentage return be if he sold his shares now? So the formulas are relatively straightforward. See, capital gains equals the total amount received from the sale of the stock minus the total amount needed to initially purchase the stock. You bought something for $85, you sold it for $100 a share. I mean, that's the gain. And you're supposed to pay taxes on that. Unless it's in a tax-qualified account, then the different situations occur depending on whether it's a post-tax or pre-tax. And we'll just discuss those in Chapter 14 in more detail. Okay, so then the total return is equal to whatever dividends he's received plus his capital gains. Okay, and then the percentage return is equal to that total return that we received divided by how much it costs us to get the shares in the first place. So just plug in the numbers, right? If we bought 100 shares at $85 a share, that's $8,500. If we sold 100 shares at $100 a share, that's $10,000. So 10,000 minus 5,000, I mean, minus 5,000. 10,000 minus 8,500. Ah, right, we also have to pay the commissions both times, so that's another 10 bucks. So what are we left with? $1,490. Plus, don't forget that we got $2.05 for every share that we owned. That's that's $205, right? $2.05 times 100. So that's 205 plus the 1490 is 1695. That was our total dollar return. That was our total, or sometimes called the absolute return, or just the total return. So what's the percentage return? Take that amount, the 1695, divided by how much it costs us to buy the shares, and that was 8,500, and we get almost 20%, 19.9, pretty darn good. Okay, and then numbers, so check that out, you know, do it. I know it's not that hard, folks. Don't just look at the answer key. Do them a couple of times, and you'll go, oh, this is easy. And that's the cool thing about stock calculations. They're relatively easy. It's the prediction of the future that's the difficult part of stocks. And then the emotions kick in. Ooh. Number six, Ann Egg owns 100 shares of Harley Davidson. I love their symbol, hog. Priced at $40. Now, if Harley Davidson were to split their stock 2-for-1, how many shares would she own? What would happen to the price of the stock? Well, it's a very simple calculation. If you have 100 shares and they split 2-for-1, you now have 200 shares. But wait a minute. As we saw in the presentation, stock splits don't generate any extra value. You can't create value out of thin air. What's going to happen to the price? If the number of shares doubles, the price has got to fall in half. So great. You had 100 shares at $40 a share. That's $4,000. Now you have 200 shares at $20 a share, that's $4,000. So it hasn't changed the value. And that's why people like Warren Buffett just refuse to split their shares. They say, I'm not going to do it. It's an accounting trick. There was a technological reason for it many years ago, but computers have made that obsolete. So, dear students, we hope you enjoy these calculations because they're relatively straightforward. They're what you're going to see in your assignment and on the exam, although 4 and 5 are a little tricky. We're not going to put those on the exam. And if you do, as we've said before, if this kind of thing makes you think, well, this is pretty, I like this. Not only is it easy, I enjoy it. There's a future for you in the industry. Think about it, dear students. Business 123, Introduction to Investments. Business 290, Workplace Experience, an internship at a brokerage firm. You'll be on your way to a career that's not, it's very profitable. Plus, it's a lot of fun. I'm not biased, of course. And, as we said before, the industry needs minorities, bilingual. They love ex-military. They need more women. Women turn out to be better investors, if you can believe that. It's already been statistically proven. I'll let you decide why that is. So, dear students, be awesome and have fun. We hope you have fun. See ya!